my class, and I'm not going to be there. He text messages at 2:30 in the afternoon, hey, can you go? And he's been doing that. And the last two sermons, he saved the day, because the printer and the computers back there take forever. 20 minutes this morning trying to get it printed out, and still getting the document called up. So thank you very much for all your help, Sean. All right, this week was not one of the best weeks in the history of the Anderson family. And it troughed out, I would say, about Friday morning between 8 and 12. During that time period, Charlie was sick. She had to make her first sick doctor visit. And she, in the spirit of seeking and sharing, she decided to share that with Betsy. So Betsy's got a little bit of what Charlie has. But as you can see, she seems to be doing all right this morning. She's awake now. Dad had a bone marrow biopsy Friday morning. No results back on that yet. But then we went to that. And also about 8 o'clock that morning, I got another email that told me again that I didn't get a job. So this has been a week. And I'm sitting there going, what am I going to talk about on Sunday? So I thought, well, hey, it's a holiday. I'm preaching. So let's talk about the holiday. So we're going to talk about Christmas. There's going to be quite a few Bible verses interspersed through here. We're going to have two songs break out here in the middle of it. This is the lesson, so just bear with us. I know how we are strict on how we do the liturgy around here, but we're going to shuffle up just a little bit this time. So I just want to start in Isaiah 7:14. I believe that's the verse that's on the front of the bulletin this morning. We're going to just bounce around. Some of them are actually on the front of the bulletin. Thank you to Amy for that. But 7:14 in Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied the birth of Jesus. He told what was going to happen. It's going to be the greatest Christmas gift that man ever received. This was the first Christmas, this is the greatest Christmas gift. And Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. This is prophesying the extreme love that God has for us, the plan that he has for us. He has a plan. We don't always know what that plan is. We don't always agree with what that plan is, but there's a plan. And that's a great thing. So 700 years before his birth, it was prophesied that Jesus would be there. In Matthew 1:22-23, he exclaims that the prophecy has come true. So Matthew 1:22-23, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So 700 years before, approximately, Isaiah said, there's a plan. There's going to be somebody born, conceived from a virgin. And that's where the Christmas story starts. We're going to take this from Matthew and Luke, going back and forth in verses. We're going to start at Matthew 1:18-25. And we will have a guest speaker at some point. I think if you remember him from last year, he joined us when I spoke last year at Christmas. You'll recognize the voice when he gets here. But we're going to start at Matthew 1:18-25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had a mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she had given birth to the son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's talk about what happens next. Joseph, he's taking a great leap of faith here. At times, that was inconceivable for something like that to happen. But he took that leap of faith. He listened to what the angel said. He said, okay, God has a plan. I'm going to go with it. How strong do you have to be to make that leap? He takes Mary to his wife, the woman is pregnant through the Holy Spirit. He could have gotten out of it. He could have divorced her right there. He could have moved on with his life and decided to live another way. But he chose not to. He chose to do what the Lord said to take God's plan and fulfill it. Now, on the other hand, we have this young lady, Mary. She was promised a marriage and finds out she's pregnant before the marriage is completed. Think of the fear she had in her heart at this point. What are people going to say? What are people going to think? How is my fiancé going to react? What's going to happen to me? Just think, these are the questions going through her head. She's young, she's not older, and she's high school age, and this is what's been told to her. We read Luke 1, 26 through 38. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Imagine being a high school student, age student. You hear an angel say, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." It's a pretty awesome greeting there. Makes you want to think, what in the world? Mary is great. Go to verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor in God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left. So she's had this angel come visit and say, "Here you go. You're going to be a pretty important person in the scope of history. This is what you're going to do." And she said, "Okay. Don't know why, but okay, we'll go with this." After this experience with Gabriel, Mary went to visit Elizabeth. And if you know the story, Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. And even John the Baptist in the womb recognized the greatness of who Mary was here. He jumped in the womb. Mary accepted that she was highly favored by God and showed her joy with the Magnificat, which we're going to sing. If you pull out your folders, it's on that last page. Dave is going to lead us in singing that.
My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. My Savior, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. My soul magnifies the Lord. Savior, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. soul magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available to them. We've all seen the nativity scenes, we've seen the plays, the Christmas programs of the year, but I don't think it ever really gives us an idea how bad the situation was. This is my thought. This is what I was thinking last night. Reading about what a manger is and how bad it was in the cave or with animals, you have straw. It makes downstairs here look like a 5-star hotel. And if you've been downstairs, you can appreciate what that means. That's how bad it was. That's how humble his beginnings were, how meager his beginnings were. That was the plan. Everybody thought that, and Blake referenced this earlier, they thought that a great king was going to be born. He was going to be born in royalty. He was going to be born like Prince George was in England, the finest services available. Jesus was not. He came from very humble beginnings. He was born in a manger. And no matter how much we sterilize it through the years, that's a pretty nasty place to be. My grandmother had a farm when we were growing up. She lived across the street, and Mom and Dad had reactivated a little bit. And just the goats and the cows and the hogs and the chickens, it's a pretty nasty place. This is where it was. So that was part of the plan, to see how humble he could come from and the greatness that he achieved. Now this is a baby. And I always get a kick out of Talladega Nights when Bobby... When he's praying, he's talking, dear baby Lord Jesus, 7 pounds, whatever he said. That's what Jesus was. He was born as a baby and grew to be a man. He taught us a new way of life. He brought us to a new relationship with our Creator. So this is an important man in history. And no matter how funny it is to hear, oh dear baby Lord Jesus, that's the way he was born. Just like you, just like me. In that, he grew up and he faced the temptations that we do every day. But he was able to maintain his purity, to maintain his perfection. He brought joy to this world. He brought joy because of his birth. He brought joy the way he lived. He brought joy when he did it in his life. So I think now would be the time to turn in the song books to number 1018. Papa's going to lead us in a church.
Nature sing.
watch movies and speak some songs playing in the background. But it tells about the joy that we have for the birth. Jesus' birth is the reason for the season. Now, Emily makes little towels, hand towels, to say the reason for the season. Each year we go out and we buy gifts to love them. Hopefully we remember that Christmas is coming and buy gifts. And that's a great thing because it shows our love for the person we're buying them for. But sometimes I think we're guilty of forgetting. We get in the hustle and bustle. We get on Black Friday, elbows going high, protect yourself, get the best gift. But it is what it is, and that's what we've become. But the reason for Christmas is because of Jesus' birth. That's what we're celebrating. And this is where the guest speaker comes in. This is the old children's classic. I think we can see it every year. Charlie Brown asks the question, what's the real meaning of Christmas? And Linus steps up. We're going to see how this works again this year, as it did last time. Talk about are the wise men. The wise men that came to celebrate Jesus. These men traveled from far off to see the Son of God. They knew how important he was for the present times of man and for the future time of man. They knew he was important. They wanted to see him. They didn't even know how to get there. So God provided a guide. There were no atlases, and you know, you can't look on an atlas and go, Jesus is there. You couldn't pull a GPS up, Jesus is there. So, God provided a star for them to follow to get there. And in Matthew 2, 1 through 2, the first two verses of Matthew 2, we read about this star. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And you continue on in Matthew 2, to verses 9 through 11, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These guys have come a long way to worship a baby, to worship a child. But they saw the big picture. They understood what that meant. What Jesus' birth meant. And the star led them to the exact location. They didn't have to stop off and ask for directions. They saw the star, they followed the star. And God made sure it ended up where it needed to be for those Magi to see who they wanted to come see. The text of Scripture states clearly that the wise men rejoiced over the fact that God provided them with a remarkably accurate travel guide. It was accurate, down to the house. And they were thankful for that, because otherwise they would have known where to go. And that also speaks to what God does for us. God directs us. He gives us direction. We have a book to read, pretty accurate book. We have people we can go to. We can talk to God in prayer. We can talk to people. daily basis to help us grow stronger in our faith. And those are all part of the big travel guide he has for us. It's not just go. We have questions. We can go to the Bible. We can go pray. Go to prayer. We have a lot of things that God helps us and guides us with. Now, looking back at the start at Christmas, one of the great things about driving to Gallatin every day is there's a star on a hill between Gallatin and Hendersonville. It's been there for years. I think it's back in the 60s or some. I don't know. It's been there for a long time. And every year, Thanksgiving, they turn it on. And it's great to see. I know where it is. I know where we're going. It doesn't take me to that place. But just think, if you're the Magi and you see that star, it takes you to where you want to go. God's kind of like that. God's our star. God's the one that we reference. And there was a church sign I saw, and this I thought it was interesting. It said, "Why wish upon a star when you can pray to the one who created it?" I think that's pretty poignant. Pretty accurate. God created a star to guide the Magi to Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. But in the end, the star represented God's plan for the Magi. They didn't wish upon that star. They followed that star to get to where they wanted to go. Seems like every time I speak up here, I go back to John 3:16-17. It to show the love, it just shows the love that God has for us. It's just simple little verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's a great gift. That gift is eternal life. He sent Jesus to take on our sins so we could have eternal life. That was the best Christmas present ever, and it was given over 2,000 years ago. No matter how bad things may seem to be in a given day, after the week we've had, you know, it's okay. We have a friend of our Father in heaven, and he wants what's best for us. We need to remember to thank him for our blessings and also take our worries to him in prayer, because that's what he's there for. So in closing, I wish each and every one of you a very Merry Christmas and a blessed new year. Hopefully you have a great Christmas season, great Christmas with your family, friends. God loves each one of us. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And we need to remember that as we celebrate that love each and every day, not just December 25th, but the other 364 or 365 days of the year. We need to remember that. God loves us, and we need to celebrate that. So, final song, Pops picked out. Let's all stand as we praise him in our song of invitation.
574.